The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
Amanda LaPlante, and you're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. And with me today is Dr. Tara Flynn of AFC Urgent Care in Brentwood. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. So I'm proud to say that Get Real to Heal is underwritten by AFC Urgent Care, which is located across from the Brentwood City Hall. We all know that flu season is right around the corner, and no matter how many times you have your kids wash their hands or how much elderberry syrup you're drinking, you know that there's still a possibility that they're going to catch that and spread it to your entire household. As a family care provider, AFC Urgent Care can diagnose and treat all the members of your family. AFC Urgent Care is open 7 days a week, long after traditional physician hours end. So, for more information, you can find it online at their website, afcurgentcare.com/Brentwood, or by calling 314-731-6265. And you might get to sit down with Dr. Tara Flynn.
Yes.
So, tell us a bit about your path and how you decided to go into urgent care.
Well, I've been a physician for a little over 20 years, and I have a large family, so I liked urgent care. I thought it was a good fit because I like multitasking, and the pace was relatively quick, and I like the longer shift work, so it provided my family with times that I was away at work and then times that I was off.
So you have a larger family. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, my husband is from St. Louis, and we have six children. And the ages are 21 to 10.
You have six children.
Yes.
And you're a doctor.
Yes.
Okay. That's, well, I have massive respect for you. I have one child and a foreign exchange student right now. And I'm like, wow, two is a lot.
Yeah. Yep. It's a little bit of a juggle, but it works out well.
That's pretty cool. So the longer shift work just a bit gives you the ability to have more days at home with the kids and then be balanced when you come into work. And
exactly.
Be focused.
Exactly. That's being cool. Open from 8 to 8, you know, provides great opportunity for people to come in. But then when the work is done, I get to go home and then I have long days off as well.
So was urgent care always the plan for you?
No. I started as a family physician and I worked what they say is cradle to the grave. So I helped deliver babies and help do inpatient and, you know, helping even at the end of life. And then as my family grew, I realized that I probably needed a little more boundaries. So then again, back to the shift work, it really worked really well.
What made you want to become a doctor?
Wow, that's a really good question. I wanted to be a doctor ever since I was 8 years old, and I don't really know exactly why, but I think it's the great balance of being able to understand the science and then being able to work with people. Actually, I took 2 years off just to make sure that was what I wanted to do, and sure enough, I liked lots of jobs, but then I thought, what could I do for the rest of my life? And it's been really rewarding, so I think it's a good fit.
What are some of the moments that, when you say it's really rewarding, what are some of the moments that stand out to you?
Oh, they happen every day. So some of it is just understanding a person and, you know, where they are in life and what some of their questions are. And being there for them at some crucial moments is kind of an amazing process.
I love that answer, and that leads into a lot of why, you know, Lori Miller, the owner of AFC Urgent Care in Brentwood, who is so amazingly supportive of this show and has been so gracious in underwriting it, you know, we were talking, and she said, you know, how can we help each other? And she said, this might be kind of an odd fit, you know, like a health coach working with an urgent care. And the answer that you just gave was exactly the reason that I thought it was a great fit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about meeting people where they are at that moment in life, whatever it is that's coming up for them. And that was so beautiful the way that you just put it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can see that for sure. Yeah. Maybe me in the bigger picture and then a life coach in the day-to-day process.
Yeah, because, you know, ultimately it's addressing those urgent situations, but it's also, you know, what are the things that we can do to prevent? Yes, for instance, the flu is a great example, right? Mm-hmm. You can diagnose and treat that. How can we keep the immune system strong by reducing chronic inflammation, stress, things like that, making sure people are eating well, getting good sleep, managing their stress? And exactly. That's the stuff that I can help with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So cool. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are some of the other ways that your practice has evolved over the years as a doctor?
Well, I think it has evolved as healthcare has changed. And so for me, I've been in urgent care since 2012 exclusively, and seeing how that urgent care is serving Americans even has made healthcare change. For instance, I think one of the goals of going to an urgent care is to avoid the ER. So then, hence, you are maybe doing some more things, more procedures, more investigative work, more diagnostics to help the patient meet those goals. And then the other part of it is being efficient. I think being efficient is so important in the urgent care, that multitasking that we talked about. And so I think honing those skills, asking the right questions in an efficient manner, because let's face it, everyone wants to get back to their busy life.
So, and that might be a good place to segue into something that we had talked about discussing in the show today, which is consumerism in healthcare and how that's affecting and changing the way things work.
Oh, yeah. That is an important issue. I think it's confusing for the average person to know what maybe their health plan does cover, what it's going to cost, and where is the best option. And sometimes the questions that they ask are very good, and even the healthcare providers might not be as informed. So I think you are feeling like that the patient comes in with different goals over time. And definitely in my time as a doctor, that's been very true. You know, I can't tell you how many times they will start the conversation of, well, maybe I shouldn't have, but I've Google this, and this is what I think. And sometimes they're spot on. And other times, you know, it just needs to do a little bit of guidance. But then the question comes up of, you know, how do I go forward with this? And what is the cost going to be? That continually becomes a more important question, just because you have different deductibles and copays and, you know, where am I in preferred network? All those big, you know, labels that people get confused about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so funny that you mentioned the rabbit hole that you can fall down with regard to the internet mm-hmm. these days. Mm-hmm. I feel like Dr. Google is big competition.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. That's for sure. And sometimes it's the challenge of maybe coming in because there is so much anxiety related to health, to do the right thing, or, you know, do I have this really bad thing? So sometimes the most of the time is actually talking them down from the ledge of what they've read about that's really bad.
You know, there was a show on a few years ago, Mindy Kaling posted it. I can't remember. It was something, I think it was the Mindy Show. But anyway, she was a doctor, and she was talking about with one of her patients. They were like, well, you know, I found online and I think I have Crohn's. And she said, no, you can't go to anything online. Everything leads to Crohn's. You know? Nothing is minor. Everything is something huge. Yes. Yeah. So it's great that we have so much information at our fingertips, but knowing how to use it effectively and then finding good resources like yourself to come in and, yeah, talk you off the ledge if you think you've got something major. So how does AFC fit into the picture in terms of really helping with this issue of consumerism now?
Well, I think that having access, so that's really key. AFC, you walk in the door and you're going to see a doctor. So I think that is, you know, what people need sometimes when that anxiety or that wonder of what I should do next. And then I think meeting the patient where they are in a quick fashion, we can certainly do that at AFC.
So what is the scope of practice at AFC Urgent Care?
Well, I think it's any really non-emergent medical problem. Again, should I go to the ER? Should I go to urgent care? And then there's also, some simple things like, if I need a medicine refill or do I need something preventative? So I think all those are on the table for discussion.
So what are those instances? You know, I had a neighbor recently who had to get stitches. It was a Friday night. It was bad enough. She almost could have gone to ER, but she knew that AFC Urgent Care was right there on the corner. We had actually just recently talked about it. And so she and her husband decided that she would go there. But, you know, that was one of those moments where I think people aren't really sure, like, is this an ER situation or can I just go to urgent care and get this done? You know, what are some other examples? You know, this was stitches on a finger. And by the way, she had a great experience. So thank you from her to you via me. But what are some of those other instances where people might wonder, you know, is this ER worthy or is this urgent care?
I think there are some resources back to online that do help people, but I think it's the severity. You know, if you really feel like I'm worried about getting in the car or, if there's ever an idea of should I call an ambulance, those are things that you really need to go to the emergency room. Chest pain, I think the medical community has done a good job educating people that heart muscle and brain, it's time sensitive. So if you think you're having a heart attack or a stroke, that's definitely going to the emergency room. Extremes of shortness of breath or extremes of pain should go to the emergency room. But there are those gray lines, and that's what I referred to earlier, that I think that we're doing a lot better job in the urgent care setting. Do I need IV fluids? Is this, a severe headache, but maybe I need medicines? Is this a broken bone, but, I feel like I'm handling the pain okay, and maybe I need an x-ray. So there's a lot of varieties. So back to the lacerations, is it bleeding severely? You know, that would go to the ER. Is it something that I feel like I can bandage and have a doctor see? Now, people do a reasonable job, what we call triaging. In the benchmarks for the urgent care, they say about 2% of the people who will go to an urgent care need to go to the emergency room. So I think people's common sense over, statistically, it's pretty good.
Gotcha. All right. So there's a lot of different urgent cares to choose from in the area, though. That's really become a more popular and prevalent type of treatment center, right? So what makes AFC stand out from some of the other competition in the area?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that the family approach is one that people will like. So I think that is, where you are going to have a little more extension of your visit and maybe that visit of, maybe I can bridge to getting back to my regular doctor, but I don't have an appointment for another month. And so this is the approach that we can do a little bit more than just your acute visit. And working with the local providers to return the patients that are loyal to them back to them. But, one thing is even back to some of what the data shows that 35% of people do not have a regular doctor. So, and those are the people that go to urgent care. So that is a lot. And whether or not that's access, or some people don't really want to have a regular doctor for one reason or another. Maybe it's economics, maybe it's just comfort level. They do feel much more comfortable coming in with some anonymity and discussing their health care problems or concerns.
That's an interesting point and actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'd never thought of that. And I didn't realize that was, that's a pretty staggering statistic, really.
It is.
It is.
And I think in different parts of the country, it's probably very different.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So, this is also a good place to go to for family care. And I know our family recently had a really great experience there. We have, as I mentioned earlier, our German exchange student who he came to America and he said, I want to play sports this fall. What's the most American thing that I can play? And to my chagrin, I said football. I was like, oh, please don't get concussed. But if he does, he'll come to AFC Urgent Care. But he did actually get a form from the school, you know, that it was time to get a physical then. And you all were so gracious in offering a fantastic deal on physicals and taking really good care of us, as it was, I think, his fourth day in America. And English was, anyway, it was an interesting trip to the urgent care. But yeah, so what are some of the other family care type things that you can do for people in the community?
Well, I think you hit on a really good one, the physical exam. I think that some screening can be done, and that can be screening for risk factors for heart disease. You know, we can talk about hypertension, we can talk about cholesterol. And so what are some of the other things for the community? I think it's there's quite a bit that can happen. You know, is it, am I ready to exercise? Is there, you know, more things on nutrition? Do I think, you know, there's a lot of people that are concerned about, you know, different illnesses?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I've been really impressed at the way that AFC Urgent Care of Brentwood has gotten out and supported the community. I know we had block parties, I guess, about 2 weeks ago, and there was AFC Urgent Care bottled water dropped off to all of the block party locations, which I thought was great. And they've done a great job of reaching out to all the PTOs of the local schools and supporting the sports booster clubs with water and other offers. And it's just been, it's very cool. You just don't see that from a lot of businesses like this. The outreach has been phenomenal.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's been very, very cool. All right, so you're a mom with six kids, and you're also a doctor who works at an urgent care and probably sees a lot of seasonal allergies and flu cases and things of that nature this time of year. So let's talk a little bit about some seasonal topics.
Sure.
Of concern. And I'd love to know, you know, with your own kids, what are some of the things that you do?
That's a good question. So we're probably heading a little bit out of the allergy season, so that's good. You know, I think as we're heading to those frosty mornings, hopefully for most people, ragweed will be, you know, going out a little bit. Then we do march right into flu season. I think right now the CDC says that we're only having sporadic amounts of influenza in Missouri. So, and that's usually what happens in October. Usually the bigger months are December through February, although it's really hard to know when it's going to hit. So then we talk about prevention. You know, really, so the fact that the CDC says it hasn't hit Missouri, that's a great opportunity for people to get their flu shots. I think, you know, most of my family has had their flu shot so far. I think we have one straggler, but that's going to happen soon. So that's the biggest thing for prevention. And then other than that, we really think about, you know, what you mentioned earlier, hand washing. So don't, you know, not touching your face. If you are around somebody, cleaning surfaces so we can not, again, get the flu on our hands and into our bodies by touching our face and our eyes and such. And then really for my family, it's staying home if you're sick, if you have a fever, covering your cough, throwing away your tissues, you know, all those things that are going to prevent it from going from one member of the family to the next.
And I know there are some people listening that just heard the recommendation on vaccines and they're scared by vaccines and they're going, you know what? They're is a case to be made for them for certain people. It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you're not a vaccine person, that's fine. You just heard some other really awesome tips, you know, from boosting the immune system to making sure that you're getting good sleep, washing hands, eating well, all of the other things that have just been mentioned. So I just want to put that out there because I know that's a fire that loves to pop up. It is what it is. Crazy times that we live in.
That's true. And sometimes
we figure out.
Yes, that's very true. And we often will see people that get on the bandwagon right away and want to get their flu shot the first thing. And then other people get more scared when they start to hear about flu. And any time is a fine time to get the flu shot. You know, at this point, you can get it now. Or if you're, you know, concerned about it, you can definitely come in and talk about it. Or if you really feel like you start seeing more flu, that it's any time time is a fine time to get the flu shot. And statistically, you know, people are going to have less cases of the flu, and the flu shot does not give you influenza.
And thinking about people that have certain diseases, I mean, what are some of the cases in which, you know, the risk is just so much greater, you know, if you take it, if you don't take it, right?
If you don't take the flu shot, you definitely want to think about the populations of extreme age. So you want to think about young children and the elderly. You also want to think about people who have immune concerns. So if you're taking medicine for your immune system, that might put you at a higher risk for complications of the flu, such as pneumonia. You also want to think about people that have asthma. You know, flu is a respiratory illness, and so it can make your asthma a lot worse. Pregnant women, especially when we had the H1N1, that was a big deal for pregnant women. So prevention is very important for that population of people. And people with diabetes, something that is going to also make your immune system maybe not react the same as if you didn't have that illness.
Okay, people with diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
I had never heard that one.
Well, you know, diabetes is, for many people, a state of inflammation. And so you may not fight infections as well, especially if your diabetes might not be very well controlled.
Fair enough. Okay. So I want to double back to allergies, though, just because even though allergy season is starting to pass us by, thankfully, I've noticed a lot of uptick in sinus infections. Mm-hmm. And other illnesses, maybe from untreated or unaddressed allergies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think most people who have allergies do understand that doing some of the prevention medications are very crucial to preventing the allergies from being severe. And if they are severe or prolonged, they can set you up for a sinus infection. So, and that's one of those things that's one of the most common reasons to come to urgent care is an upper respiratory infection, such as a sinus infection.
Okay, good to know. Another thing that's coming up now, or very shortly, October 23rd to 31st is Red Ribbon Week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, that's the nation's oldest and largest drug prevention program. What are some of the things that AFC Urgent Care does to address drug prevention and things along that line?
Well, I think the medical community is very acutely aware of the, you know, opioid crisis, and I think people are talking about it more, and I think that's helping to branch to prevention, and, you know, thinking about talking about it even with adolescents. And if you're, you know, I think that open communication, they are saying that is a great form of prevention so that smart choices are made.
How do you talk about that with your own kids?
Well, I think that's a really good question. So I think it's really watching for any signs, but I think it's really one of those kind of things to say, you know, that you can see what the effects are, and the effects of addiction can be very powerful, and denial can be really powerful. So I think just being open about it.
And, you know, I find that it's a confusing time. We just had a conversation coming home from dinner last night with my almost 13-year-old son. And he said, yeah, he's like, it's just frustrating because all of our bathrooms at school smell like pot. And I was shocked. I turned around. I was in the front seat, and I turned around and I looked at him and I said, what? And he goes, yeah, we find that stuff all over the place in all the bathrooms at school. And he goes to a national blue ribbon, like a very good school. It was absolutely shocking to me. So as the laws start to change, and we're seeing it happen, you know, in Missouri soon, and we've seen it happen in other states around the country, as a mom and as a doctor, what are some of your thoughts around the way things are changing and the way that drugs are you know, the perceptions are being changed?
Yeah, I think it's sometimes those changes happen and you live in your bubble. And then other times, we were traveling down to Texas and I was a little amazed at all the signs. And that brought up the conversation of, you know, what is out there, what people are doing, what is the science behind it? And there are a lot of unknowns. And I think approaching those as unknowns at this point and talking about, you know, what's going on with vaping, you know, at one point, maybe people didn't really talk about the dangers, but then suddenly finding the dangers. Do you want to be in that situation where you're trying something and you don't really know? And then later on, all this information comes out about how dangerous it is. So I think it's a changing world. And I think trying to look at the data and the evidence is the most important. It keeps me grounded.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to me. And yeah, it's just one of those things where as a mom, these are new conversations for me. So mm-hmm. knowing now that you've got so much experience, I will be picking your brain from time to time.
I will try.
Oh, man. Well, for more information on AFC Urgent Care, people can go, of course, to www.afcurgentcare.com/Brentwood or call 314-731-6265. When are you in if they want to come in and see you in particular?
Oh, I don't think it really has any rhythm to or schedule to it. So, but they can call and definitely ask.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Tara Flynn, thank you so much for joining us today on Get Real to Heal. I really appreciate your knowledge and your time.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a joy.
This has been Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRH LP 92.9 FM. Want to again thank our underwriter, AFC Urgent Care of Brentwood. And if anyone would like more information or to contact me, you can find me online at amandalaplante.com or on facebook.com/getrealtoheal or follow me on Instagram at getrealtoheal as well. I've got a new newsletter out, so definitely reach out to me and sign up for that. There's a lot of great information on talks, group programs, coaching programs that I have coming up. And for a free consultation, you can reach out to me anytime. I am here for you. It's 314-583-6749. Go make it a great day.